بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. الحمد لله الذي يفعل ما يريد ويفعل ما يشاء ويحكم بما يريد. Alhamdulillah, all praise is for Allah, the one who does as He wills and decrees as He wants. He is Al-Ahad, Al-Samad. He is the one, alone, and He is Al-Samad, the self-sufficient. Al-Qa'im bi-nafsihi al-muqim li-ghayrihi, the one who is self-sufficient, not in need of any other, and the one upon whom everybody else depends and is in need of. Tanazzah an kulli naqsin wa'ib, the one who is glorified above every weakness and every imperfection. Wala ya'tarihi maradun wala da'af, the one who is not touched by any weakness or afflicted by any illness. He is Allah, who said regarding Himself, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينُ. Verily, He is Allah, الرَّزَّاقُ, the one who sustains and provides. ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينُ, the one who possesses a great amount of strength and might. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ, and I bear witness there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone and He has no partners. وَلِيُّ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ, and He is the protector and the guardian of the first and the last. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, and I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is the worship of Allah and His Messenger. وَصَفِيُّهُ وَخَلِيلُهُ, and He is His chosen one and His most beloved. Al-Mab'uth Rahmatan Lil'Alameen, the one who was sent to mankind as a mercy. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'een, amma ba'd. Dear brothers and sisters, we are living in days and in a state that perhaps nobody amongst us has ever experienced before, especially in our generation, a situation, a global situation that nobody has ever lived in before. And in this type of situation, in which there is an outbreak of such an illness which has confined over 1 billion people to their homes, 1 billion people upon the earth who are not able to leave their houses for fear of illness and becoming sick. In such a situation, it is important for a Muslim to have husn al-dhan billah, to maintain a good thought about Allah subhanahu. Husn al-dhan, having a good thought and a good assumption about Allah subhanahu. And this is because our Lord Allah, one of His names is Al-Hakim, and the meaning of Al-Hakim is the All-Wise. And this means that every action of Allah and every decree of Allah is based upon divine wisdom. And sometimes we as humans, we are able to understand and appreciate the wisdom of Allah behind an event or a decree. And in many scenarios, in many incidents, we are not able to understand or appreciate the wisdom of Allah behind an occurrence. And this is not because Allah does not have a wisdom behind that which He has decreed. Rather, it is due to our limits as humans and our limited understanding. So this situation that we are in in which there's been an outbreak of the virus around the globe, and so many people have been affected, and the lives of so many people have been diminished, there are many wisdoms which we can understand if we contemplate. So from the wisdoms of Allah subhanahu throughout this epidemic is that we appreciate how weak we are as humans, and how perfect and almighty He is, Allah subhanahu. And Allah reminds us in the Quran, He said, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. You are the ones who are poor and needy in front of Allah. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. And Allah, He is al-ghani. He is rich and self-sufficient and independent of others. And He is al-hamid. He remains praised and praiseworthy. And from the wisdoms behind such an occurrence is that it gives us a chance to worship Allah in times of difficulty. So many of us, especially those who are living in the West, alhamdulillah, we live a life of comfort and luxury. And therefore, much of our worship takes place during times of comfort. And living in this situation which we are living in, it allows us to worship Allah also in times of difficulty and restriction. So from the benefits of living in this situation is that we are able to fulfill al-ubudiyyah. And the meaning of al-ubudiyyah is complete submission to Allah in worship. Complete submission to Allah in worship. In every state and every situation. So you as a Muslim, you remain a worshipper of Allah regardless of whether you are healthy or whether you are ill, or rich or poor, or comfortable or distressed, or happy or sad. You have to remain a Muslim and maintain your worship of Allah subhanahu. And also from the wisdoms behind such an occurrence is that we are able to worship Allah through as-sabr, patience. So as-sabr, patience, this is an act of ibadah. And Allah orders us to seek His help through patience. He said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Inna allaha ma'as-sabirin. O people of Iman, seek the help of Allah through as-sabr, through patience, and through as-salah. Verily Allah is with those who are patient. And also, in such a situation, we are able to rectify our houses. Because many of us are restricted from leaving our homes, it gives us an opportunity to rectify our houses and strengthen the relationships within our families. And also it reminds a person of what is truly important to him. So as humans, we are able to suffice with very little. We are able to live with very little. And sometimes we become neglectful because everything is easy for us and affordable and within reach. So when Allah subhanahu He tests us with this type of test, it reminds us of how little we can do with, and that much of what we spend we are not in need of. And also what is important to a person in terms of his house and his or her close family. And also in this situation is a time for us to finally worship Allah with those acts of worship which we are sometimes negligent over. So many of us, we say, I want to recite Quran, but I have to go out and work. I want to pray nawafil, I want to fast, but I'm going to spend the whole day outside. And now Allah subhanahu, He has given us an opportunity that we are in our houses. And therefore the recitation of the Qur'an, the praying of the nawafil, and the giving of charity, and the fasting of the days, it is something which Allah has made easy for us. And also from the wisdoms behind such an occurrence in people being confined to their houses is that it gives us an opportunity to learn. Alhamdulillah, with the advancement of technology, nowadays we are able to learn and seek knowledge whilst we are sitting in our own houses. And with this in thought, we decided to embark on a series of lessons in which we will study and contemplate the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is Sayyidul Mursaleen. He is the chief and the master of all messengers and prophets. And we will study and learn and contemplate the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by going through a book which is known as Riyadu Salihin. And this book, Riyadu Salihin, it was authored by a great scholar of Islam whose name, or who is known as Al-Imam An-Nawawi Rahimahullah. And before we begin studying the first hadith, which we will do in the next lesson, this lesson is going to act as an introduction to the author, a brief biography of the author, and also an introduction to the book itself. And as many of you know, this book, Riyadu Salihin, it is a compilation of hadith. And it is one of the great books of Islam that many people have benefited from. And it is a book which is blessed by the permission of Allah. And how can we say that this book is blessed, it is Mubarak? By the fact that it has been accepted by so many Muslims. The Ummah has accepted this book. And this is an indicator that it contains blessings. And our scholars, they often mention that if there is a scholar or a book which is widely accepted by the Muslims, the Ummah, throughout the years and the generations, then this is an indicator of the sincerity of the author. For Allah to place the acceptance of a person in the hearts of the Ummah, this is an indicator of the sincerity or the ikhlas of the author, bi-idhnillah. And there is not a masjid upon the face of the earth which has a library, or a student of knowledge, or a scholar, except that they will have, the large majority of them, a copy of Riyadu Salihin, or a translation of Riyadu Salihin. And as I mentioned, before we begin studying the first hadith, in this lesson we will go through a brief biography of the author, and also a brief introduction into the book itself. As for the author, he is the great Imam and the great scholar of Islam, Yahya ibn Sharaf al-Nawawi. His name was Yahya, and his kunya is Abu Zakariya, and he is known as being al-Nawawi. And this name, or this ascription, al-Nawawi, it goes back to the place he was born. So Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, Muhyiddin Abu Zakariya, he was born in Sham, in Syria, in an area called An-Nawa. An-Nawa is southwest of Syria, to the south of Damascus, near the border of Jordan and Palestine. And Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he was born 631 Hijri, which is approximately 810 years before our time today. And he was not only known for his knowledge, rather he was known for his knowledge and his teaching, his worship, his piety, and also the many books which he left behind. So from the amazing affairs of Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah is that 810 odd years ago, he left behind, or he wrote and he produced volumes and volumes of books in the various fields of Islam. And of course this was before the existence, or before the development of printing, in which books were written by hand and then they were copied by a nasikh. A book would be copied by a nasikh. And he wrote and he produced books in almost every field of Islam, in hadith and fiqh and the Arabic language and in adab and in the sciences of hadith, asma'ur rijal, and especially in the Shafi'i madhab, many, many volumes. And perhaps his books, they reach over 100 volumes, or 150 volumes. And Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimullah, he authored all these books and he left behind such a great legacy, and yet he died and he was only 45 years old. He died 676 Hijri. And as for the book Riyadu Salihin, this is one of the beneficial books which every Muslim can benefit from, whether he is a scholar or a student of knowledge, an imam, a teacher, a student, or just a common Muslim, a normal Muslim. Every person is able to benefit from this book Riyadu Salihin. And this book Riyadu Salihin, for a person who wants to refine his life and live by the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah and adorn himself or herself with the etiquettes and the manners of Islam, then this is a perfect manual for this. And for this reason, many of our scholars and our teachers, they would advise us to have a daily reading of this book. Every day a Muslim reads two or three hadith or a page of this book. And if a person has a daily reading of this book and contemplates the evidences found in this book and lives according to them, then this book will guide that person to a pious life, in which a person is able to reform his character and refine his manners and purify his or her heart and rectify his or her soul. And this book, it guides a person and it encourages a person to perform righteous actions. And for this reason, the author called it Riyadu Salihin, a garden for the righteous, i.e. a garden in which the righteous are encouraged upon righteous deeds. And this book, it covers three aspects of three different domains of adab, manners. The adab of a person within him or her own self, the manners of a person within his own self, and the manners of a person with Allah, with his messenger, with the religion of Islam, and the manners of a person with his or her family, parents, neighbors, guests, poor, scholars, and so on and so forth. And the author in this hadith, or the author in this book, in this compilation, he mentioned just over 1,900 hadith, or rather 1,900 ayat and hadith. The majority of this book is hadith, however there are also a number of ayat. And the author mentioned in his introduction that he will only mention a hadith which are sahiha, authentic. And it has to be noted that although the author had the intention to only narrate the most authentic ahadith, there are a number of weak hadith. And Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, in his checking of this book, he counted 37 weak hadith, which we will point out. And how did the author structure this book, Riyadus Salihin? He structured this compilation with 19 different books. Meaning the book Riyadus Salihin, it is broken down into 19 kutub. And the meaning of kitab here is chapter. So the book Riyadus Salihin, it contains 19 chapters. And then each chapter, each kitab has abwab. And the meaning of abwab is sub-chapters. And in total, there are 372 sub-chapters. So there are 19 chapters in Riyadus Salihin. And in total, there are 372 sub-chapters. And each one of the 19 chapters, the author mentioned a title for each chapter except the first one. The first chapter, he did not mention a title for it. And also each sub-chapter, each bab, the author mentions a name for it, a title. And then within each bab, within each sub-chapter, are a number of ayat from the Qur'an, and also a large number of ahadith from the Prophet ﷺ. And sometimes he will mention sayings or narrations or actions from the Sahaba, from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the author rahimullah, in his introduction to the book, he mentioned his reason for writing the book. He said, فَرَأَيْتُ أَنْ أَجْمَعَ مُقْتَصَرًا مِنَ الْأَحَادِيثِ الصَّحِيحَةِ. He said, I considered it appropriate that I should compile or bring together a concise compilation of authentic hadith. مُشْتَمِلًا عَلَى مَا يَكُونُ طَرِيقًا لِصَاحِبِهِ إِلَى الْآخِرَةِ. And that these ahadith, they will show a person his path towards the hereafter. وَمُحَصِّلًا لِآدَابِهِ الْبَاطِنَةِ وَالظَّاهِرَةِ. And that through these hadith, a person is able to attain and acquire the adab, the manners and the morals of a Muslim, the characteristics and the qualities of being a Muslim. الْبَاطِنَةِ وَالظَّاهِرَةِ, the manners which are hidden inside a person's heart, and also the manners which are apparent and manifest upon the tongue and limbs. جَامِعًا لِلْتَرْغِيبِ وَالْتَرْهِيبِ. And these ahadith and these evidences which the author mentions, they combine between التَرْغِيبِ and التَرْهِيبِ. And the meaning of التَرْغِيبِ are those evidences which mention the reward of Allah for doing righteous actions, such that it encourages you to perform righteous actions. And the meaning of At-Tarheeb are those ayat and those ahadith which mention the punishments of Allah, such that it develops in you a fear from or a fear of performing sins. And then he mentioned the various subjects which he has covered through these hadith. He said, Ahadith Zuhud, wa riyadatu nufus, wa tahdhib al-akhlaq. Then he has mentioned ahadith which relate to az-zuhud, asceticism. And also riyadat al-nufus, those ahadith which refine a person's soul. Wa tahdhib al-akhlaq, and those ahadith which reform a person's manners. Wa taharat al-qulub wa ilajuha, and those ahadith which purify a person's heart and cure the hardness which is in the heart of a person. وَصِيَانَةُ الْجَوَارِحِ, and those ahadith which protect the limbs of a person. And as I mentioned, before we start studying the hadith, we'll go through the structure of the book and read some of the contents of the book. And this is important because it gives us a general idea of the book and a context of the book. So as I mentioned, the author, he broke down his compilation Riyadu Salihin into 19 chapters. And each chapter contains a number of sub-chapters. And every one of the chapters, he titled them apart from the first chapter. And the first chapter, it contains 83 sub-chapters. And perhaps the most appropriate title to the first chapter would be Kitab Al-Jami' Bain Al-Ma'murat Wal-Mahdurat, the comprehensive collection of commandments and prohibitions. And in this first chapter, the author mentions 83 sub-chapters. So for example, the first sub-chapter is Babul Ikhlas, the chapter of sincerity. And as a side point, one of the reasons why we've decided to read this compilation and study and teach this book is because it is very appropriate to the time and the days and the situation that we are living in. And as we go through the names of some of the chapters, you will realize this. So the first chapter is, or the first sub-chapter is Babul Ikhlas, the chapter of sincerity. And he also mentions Bab At-Tawbah, the chapter of repentance. And he mentions Bab Al-Sabr, the sub-chapter of patience. And he mentions Bab Al-Sidq, the sub-chapter of truthfulness. And At-Taqwa, piety. And Al-Yaqeen Wa-Tawakkul, and the sub-chapter of being certain in your iman in Allah. And the sub-chapter of having your, or placing your reliance upon Allah. And he also mentions a sub-chapter, Al-Mubadara ila al-Khayrat, hastening towards doing good deeds. And he also mentions a sub-chapter, Al-Ta'awun ala al-Birr wa-Taqwa, helping each other and cooperating with each other upon righteousness and upon piety. And he mentions the sub-chapter of An-Nasiha, sincere advice. He mentions the sub-chapter of Qada Hawaij al-Muslimin, taking care of the needs of the Muslims and serving the people. And he also mentions the sub-chapter of Birrul Walidain, obedience to parents, and obedience to the friends of your parents. And the subchapter of fear and hope. And the subchapter of hunger. And the subchapter of al-qana'ah, of contentment. And you can see how each one of these subchapters, they apply directly to the situation that we find ourselves in rectifying our intention and being sincere, and purifying our heart, and increasing our taqwa, and cooperating with each other, and serving the people, helping the people, taking care of the needs of the people, and being truthful in our intention and our actions. So this was the first chapter, which he did not name. The second chapter he named Kitab al-Adab, the book or the chapter of manners. And Kitab al-Adab, it contains 16 sub-chapters. For example, it contains a sub-chapter of Al-Haya, shyness and modesty. And Hifz al-Sir, guarding the secrets of the people. And also Bab al-Wafa, the sub-chapter of trustworthiness. And also the sub-chapter of Tib al-Kalam, of sweet words and pleasant speech. And Talaqat al-Wajh, and being optimistic and having a happy smiling face. And also he mentions the subchapter of Al-Waqar wa-Sakina, of tranquility and remaining noble and calm, and honoring the guests and spreading hope and optimism amongst the people, at-tabshir, giving glad tidings to the people. And again, each one of these sub-chapters, it applies to the days which we are living in. And then the third chapter is Kitab Adab al-Ta'am, the chapter of the manners of food, food and drink. And within this chapter, he mentions 17 sub-chapters. For example, the chapter of mentioning the name of Allah before eating, and the chapter of not criticizing food, and that it is disliked for a person to eat whilst leaning, and also the chapter of sharing food, and some of the manners or the etiquettes of drinking. And also then he mentions the fourth chapter, Kitabul Libas, the chapter of clothing. And in this chapter he mentions 15 sub-chapters. And also he mentions the chapter of the etiquettes of sleeping. And within this he mentions 4 sub-chapters. And also he mentions the 7th chapter, the chapter of visiting the ill and following the funeral of the deceased. And then Kitab Adab al-Safar, the chapter of the etiquettes of travelling. And he also mentions the 9th chapter, Kitab al-Fada'il, the chapter of virtuous deeds. So for example, he mentions the virtue of reciting Qur'an, and the virtue of beautifying your voice when reciting the Qur'an, and the virtue of the reward of wudu and adhan, and the different types of salawat, and the virtue of fasting. And in the 10th chapter he mentions Kitab al-I'tikaf, and then after this the chapter of Hajj, and then after this the chapter of Jihad, and then after this the chapter of knowledge. And also he mentions the chapter of Ash-Shukr, showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu, and the chapter of sending salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he also mentions the chapter of Adhkar, the various remembrances and supplications that a person should make throughout the night and the day. And he mentions the chapter of Ad-Da'awat, the different supplications we should make. And then he mentions the 17th chapter, Al-Umur Manhi'an, those things which we are forbidden from doing, like the prohibition of backbiting and the prohibition of slander, وَذَمُّ ذِلْوَجْهَيْنِ, and the dispraise of a person who is two-faced, and the prohibition of lying and insulting those who have died, and the prohibition of jealousy and showing off, and many other haram actions. And in this chapter he mentioned 116 sub-chapters. And then also he mentioned a chapter of the signs of the day of resurrection. And he finished his book with a chapter of al-istighfar, of seeking forgiveness. And as I mentioned, in each one of these chapters there is a reminder for us, especially in the days and in the situation that we live in. And then finally, we end this first lesson by mentioning the last few words that the author mentioned in his introduction. When the author wrote this book and compiled these ayat and these ahadith and these narrations, what was his hope? And he mentions in the introduction, he said, وَأَرْجُوا إِن تَمَّ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَن يَكُونَ سَائِقًا لِلْمُعْتَنِي بِهِ إِلَى الْخَيْرَاتِ. He said, I hope that if this book is completed, that it will be something which leads a person to goodness and righteousness. حَاجِزًا لَهُ عَنْ أَنْوَاعِ الْقَبَائِحِ وَالْمُهْلِكَاتِ, and that it will be a barrier for a person from the shameful actions and the destructive sins. And then the author, he ended his introduction by making a request. He made a request to every reader of the book and every person who benefits from the book, like myself and yourself. He said, وَأَنَا سَائِلٌ أَخًا إِنْتَفَعَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ أَنْ يَدُعَى لِي. He said, I ask the brother, i.e. the reader, the brother or the sister, who benefits in any way from this book, أَنْ يَدُعُوَ لِي, that he should supplicate for me. وَلِوَالِدَيَّ, and he should supplicate for my parents. وَمَشَائِخِي, and he should supplicate for my teachers. وَسَائِرْ أَحْبَابِنَا, and he should supplicate for every person who we love and who is dear to us. وَالْمُسْلِمِينَ أَجْمَعِينَ, and that he should supplicate for all the Muslims. And so we ask Allah subhanahu that he places upon the deeds of Imam al-Nawawi on Yawm al-Qiyamah much reward, and he bestows upon him his mercy, that Allah rewards Imam al-Nawawi on behalf of us the Muslims and on behalf of al-Islam. And until our next lesson, and Allah is the one who we depend upon and he is our protector, and we ask Allah subhanahu to protect all the Muslims and to remove from us and humanity the difficulty which we are in. وبالله التوفيق. هذا والله أعلم, وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.